the truth revealed all at once would be far too shocking. And there are many reasons for this. First of all, there are disturbing aspects. Many people have lost their lives in the military, for example, since the late 40s, maybe even during World War II, when they've opened fire on some of these craft. And there has been retaliation on a very large scale. That's one of the things that I concentrate on in Need to Know, which was published in the States in 2007. So I hope that later in the program we can get up to date with some more recent developments. But
yes.
For sure, I would say conservatively that hundreds of military pilots have lost their lives in the pursuit of unknown flying objects.
Is it your opinion, Timothy, that if the pilots did not take an aggressive stance toward the UFO, that they might not have been harmed, or would they have anyway?
I think you're right there, because in April, May 1947, when the German team headed by von Braun started developing the captured V-2 rockets and launching them from New Mexico, from White Sands, there were frequently occasions when discs, flying discs, were seen buzzing around the rockets. And on at least one occasion, two occasions of which I'm aware, rockets were brought down prematurely and destroyed. And this led to retaliation by our military. The United States Army Air Forces, as they were then known, were sent up to try and shoot down the flying discs, and they were successful, because I'm convinced that Roswell and several other incidents were due to craft which had been attacked by our military aircraft. Now, people say to me, well, Tim, that's rather unlikely. These craft have got such advanced technology, and they're highly advanced, this and that, and there's no way that we could shoot them down. Surely they would be invulnerable to whatever we had to throw at them.
Right. You would think that, at least.
You would think that, George, but not so. What I've been told by reliable sources is that they can cope with anything electronic that is fired at them, like electronically guided missiles, but they are not so hot on dealing with cannon shells. And this is what brought them down, apparently.
I guess it's probably, as technology advances, they are so far advanced, it's like a little slingshot, and they probably don't even know what it is.
Right. And you see, there was then retaliation by the spacecraft, because all over the world, not just in the United States, as people think, but all over the world, there were, in 1947, a very alarming series of aircraft accidents, not just involving military aircraft, but civilian airliners. And often airliners were unable to unstick, as they say in aviation parlance, unable to get off the runway, and just crashed into flames at the end of the runway, killing passengers and crew. And this happened on a number of occasions. Planes were, as it were, made to collide with each other. There was a horrendous series of incidents, and Truman called an investigation. There was a crisis meetings about all this, which some of this has been released through the public record. And you can understand how this information, if we were told about that, I can talk about it, we can talk about it, but if that came out from, say, President Obama, that, you know, there's been a conflict, and furthermore, that there still is a conflict going on with some alien species, how do you think we would react?
I
really think it's got to be gradual.
Yeah, I think so too. You have a passion for aviation, which
yes,
is probably one of the reasons that pushed you in the direction you've gone with UFO investigations, has it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was due to an American cousin that I became involved in UFO research. This was a guy, Edmund C. Berkeley, a second cousin of mine, who actually was the first person in the United States, I believe, to produce a magazine on computing. And it was called Computers and Automation, I believe. And our members of the family thought it was all quite nuts, the idea of computers and so forth. But this man was decades ahead of his time. And I'll never forget the time that he came to our house and said, Timothy, you like airplanes? You need to know about flying saucers. So he sent me The Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe, and that was it. Here were reports by military pilots, by airline pilots, and people often say radar doesn't make much difference. That's absolute nonsense. Now, in the early days, certainly in the 40s and 50s, radar was vulnerable to things like anaprop, anomalous radar propagation. But I can tell you that over the years, radar is incredibly sophisticated. A long time ago, I learned that from a Royal Navy source over here that the Americans had radar capable of identifying what engine an aircraft was actually using. Soviet bombers, for example, they would identify the make of engine, and they would know that was a bomber or a fighter plane or reconnaissance or whatever. And that was, I would say, at least 20 years ago. So radar has confirmed many of the thousands of reports from military and airline pilots, and all of them get mercilessly ridiculed or threatened, as we're all well aware. And my hat off to Leslie Kane for her new book, which I have before me, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record, because she's highlighted this important aspect, as indeed I did with Need to Know. I concentrated on a lot of pilot cases and military cases, generals and so forth.